So we're in chapter 31 of Tanya. And in the previous chapter, chapter 30, we spoke about how a person is judged not only by what they actually accomplish, but also by the effort. Like, I don't know if you, but I remember when I was in elementary school, our report cards had two columns for each class. There was the grade, and then there was the effort. I don't know if you had that also. But so we're judged, spiritually speaking, in terms of mitzvahs and so on and so forth, not only by what we actually achieve, but also by how much effort we put into it. And in chapter 30, the Alter Rebbe explained that a person should view themselves as truly lower than every other person. And the way that I'm able to do that, more or less, is by essentially asking myself, what would happen if I was faced with that person's challenges? And truthfully, of course, I don't really know their challenges anyway. But given that they might have tremendous challenges going on, what would happen to me if I was faced with greater challenges? Would I succeed? Would I keep my head above water? And the answer is, I don't know. I might not succeed if I had greater challenges in life. And I might come to realize, if I think about this more and more, that it's possible maybe I served Hashem less than people that I previously thought I was so much greater than and so much more accomplished than. It could be I served Hashem even less than them. So that's a real blow to the ego. That's a real shot in the arm, so to speak. That can enable me to view myself as being Heveshval Ruch Bifnechol Ha'adam, as the Alter Rebbe quotes from Pirkei Avos, to view myself as being lower than every other person. And that's meant to be a real hisbonenus, a real thought process of bringing myself to that awareness and that recognition that indeed I'm lower than everybody. That's more or less chapter 30. Now, the problem with that, if you can call it a problem, is that if I'm going to sit here and contemplate how much of a loser I am, contemplate my inadequacy, I might get depressed. I might get sad, which is for sure off limits. But that might happen. If I'm going to sit here and keep thinking, Heveshval Ruch Bifnechol Ha'adam, I'm lower than this guy, I'm lower than that guy. That guy's a real loser, but you know, if I had his challenges, I'd probably be even lower than him, I'd be worse off than him. Wow, where's it going to leave me? It very well might leave me with a real sour taste in my mouth. A real taste of just accomplishing nothing, doing nothing, and just what am I worth, what am I doing here, and real dejection and sadness. And that's not okay. And that's more or less where chapter 31 picks up. So let's just look inside, we'll just start reading right away, chapter 31. I don't know if it's quite a long chapter, whereas last time we covered all of chapter 30, I don't necessarily expect we'll cover all of chapter 31, so maybe we're going to skip a little bit. Anyway, Perek Lamed Aleph, V'hine, Af im Kashiyarech Harbi L'Hamik Binyonam Anal. If I'm going to spend a lot of time thinking about what we just learned in chapter 30, namely viewing myself as lower than everyone, Kesha Ushtaim, for an hour or two, some significant time, Liyos Benemichas Ruach V'Lev Nishbar, I'm going to be of lowly spirit and a broken heart. What's going to happen? I'm going to be depressed. I'm going to be sad. So the Alter Rebbe says, don't worry about it. How could I not worry about it? Well, you see, there's different types of sadness. When I say that I'm sad, what do I mean that I'm sad? Why am I sad? What's the trigger that makes me sad? Even though atzvus, sadness or depression, it's not a holy thing. It's from klipa. It's from the other side. It's from that which is unholy. Specifically, he says here, klipas noiga, which, like we explained in chapter 6, klipas noiga is, and noiga literally means like shining. It's a klipa that shines. So on the one hand, it's a klipa, meaning that it's certainly not kedusha. But on the other hand, it's not the klipos temeos. It's not the impure klipos. So there is some redeeming quality to this klipa. But nevertheless, atzvus is from klipa. It's something that generally is off limits, something we stay away from. It's not kedusha. Ki b'tzada kedusha ksiv oiz v'chedva b'mkoyme. When it comes to kedusha, it says oiz v'chedva. If you are b'mkoyme in its place, in his place, maybe it means in Hashem's place, then it's oiz v'chedva. I should be joyous. I should be happy. And if I'm not happy, that means I'm in the wrong mokoyim. Metaphorically speaking, I think it means the wrong mokoyim. So when I'm connected to kedusha, to oiz v'chedva, and furthermore, the Shekhinah is only going to come, it's only going to dwell when there's simcha. So anything that's not simcha should be off limits. Likewise for learning halacha, for Torah. Torah has to be also mitech simcha. Ela she'im ho'atzvus him emilu deshmaya. If the sadness a person experiences from mili d'shmaya, from spiritual matters, meaning I'm upset that I didn't daven properly. That's not so bad, necessarily, to be upset that you didn't daven properly. It might get carried away, and might also be detrimental. But in and of itself, if I'm a little bit dejected that my davening wasn't the way it could have been, or that my limud Torah wasn't the way it could have been, that's not necessarily a bad thing. That's why it says it's mechinas toiv shabenega. It's the good within the klipa, because there's something positive there. If I feel like my davening was lacking, okay, that might be good. That could be positive. V'lochin kosav Arizal. Arizal writes shafil dagas havoynos ein ruuyakim b'shas avidui. Being concerned about a person's avedos is only proper when you're doing vidui. V'loy b'shas ha'tfil of a Talmud Torah, but not in the middle of davening and learning. Shatzarichlus b'simcha shemitzad the kedusha dafka, because at that time, the time of tefillah and Torah, you have to be b'simcha. Don't start thinking about your averos. Don't not the time to reflect on averos. But nevertheless, there's something of the atzvus, sadness. It's still a problem. You might have atzvus which is from toiv shabanoiga. It could be potentially from a good place. Again, that the person might be saddened about their spiritual state. Not necessarily a bad thing. But you know what? It's still klipa. It's still sadness. And sadness is off limits. Or as one of my rabbis in Israel used to say, that the dirtiest word in the Hasidic lexicon is atzvus. There's no worse curse word than atzvus. But he would say it's the dirtiest word in the Hasidic lexicon. What do we have to do? We have to subdue the sitra achra, the other side, i.e. the klipa, with its own medicine. What does it mean? From it, I will create the axe to chop it down. Meaning, where do you get the axe to chop down the tree? From the tree. So sometimes you got to fight fire with fire. Upoga boy, kayotze boy. It's a Gemara in Shabbos. Story says, they're discussing in the Gemara over there, what kind of animals can you kill on Shabbos? Dangerous animal. You're allowed to kill dangerous animals on Shabbos. So the Gemara is talking about a situation, they found a snake in the Beis HaMedrash on Shabbos and killed it. And Rabbi Yehuda Anasi says, Poga boy kayotze boy. That snake met its own kind. Which in a sense is an insult to the person who killed it. Person who killed the snake, he's saying, oh, you're just like the snake. The snake met its own kind. You're like the snake. In other words, you might say that what the Pshat in the Gemara means could be that just like the snake is dangerous, so a dangerous person killed the dangerous snake. Meaning a non-dangerous person couldn't do it. The snake needed to meet its own kind. And so too, if we're going to fight atzvos, fight sadness, we have to fight it with its own kind. which I'll try to explain. God willing, the Altar will try to explain. Meaning, to fight evil, we have to use something that comes from evil and appears similar to it. Or, in a specific case of atzvus, if we're going to fight atzvus, sadness or depression, we have to use something that comes from atzvus and appears like atzvus, and looks like atzvus. What is that? So he's going to explain. From every sadness there will be a profit. There will be something good come that will come of it. And what is the yisrain? What is the greatness or the superiority of that can come out of sadness? That is the simcha that follows it. Now, here we go. Now we're going to describe a little bit what exactly is that thing that is similar to the atzvus, but not exactly the same thing. Because remember, we're trying to fight fire with fire. We want to fight atzvus with more atzvus. Now, if we think back for a second, what the Gemara said, that the axe comes from the forest. The axe comes from the tree itself. Actually, it doesn't. What chops down the tree?
A metal,
a piece of metal. It's that the wood is the handle for the metal. So the wood holds the metal. It allows me to swing the metal. It allows me to utilize the metal. But it's not that the axe actually comes from the tree. Part of it comes from the tree. The handle. Okay, without the handle, I'm useless. I can't do anything without it. But it's not mamish the same thing as the tree. You don't take the tree and chop down the tree with the tree. You take the tree, use part of the tree to fashion a tool that then enables you to chop down the tree. So we're not going to use atzvus. Atzvus is the dirtiest word in the Hasidic lexicon. We've got to stay away from atzvus, from real, true sadness. Or maybe even, you might call it even depression. That's off limits. We want to use it as a handle. So how does it work? So let's look inside. Ach be'emes ein lev nishbar. V'meridas ha'nefesh al-rechukum erpenei Hashem. The broken heart that a person might experience. And now he throws in the word umeridus ha'nefesh. Not atzvus, but meridus, bitterness. So atzvus and meridus, there's a fine line. To be sad and to be bitter, fine line, often confused. Atzvus, dirtiest word in the Hasidic lexicon. Stay away from it. Off limits. Meridus, oh. Now we're talking about the handle that comes from the tree. And he's going to explain it. When the person has meridus ha-nefesh al-richuka, he says, I'm far from Hashem. And you know what? I'm irked by that. Irked is not the best word, really. It bothers me. I'm disturbed at that situation. Really, that feeling is not actually called atzvus. Because what's the difference? You have atzvus and meridus. Again, a fine line. He spells it out. Ki atzvus hi. What does it mean, atzvus? Sheli boy matumtum ke evin. Your heart is hard as a rock. You're stopped up. Ve'ein chayes beliboy. There's no energy. There's no life. A person who's experiencing atzvus lies in bed the whole day doing nothing. Binge watching Netflix. I think people do that. I don't have Netflix, but I'm not. But I think people sit and they just watch shows over and over again. Right? That's from. I'm not saying that watching television necessarily comes from atzvus, although maybe it does, but that wasn't the point. Point was that a person with atzvus sits in bed, doesn't move, they're not motivated to grow, they're not motivated to dig themselves out of the rut. They just sink. It's like one of those big, really comfortable couches that as soon as you sit in it, you're just like, oh. And you're just like sinking deeper and deeper into the couch. I don't even want to get out of the couch. It's like your discomfort becomes comfortable. Being down and out, you get used to it. And you're like, okay, that's the way I am. So atzvus leads to liboy matumtum ke'evin, ve'ein chayes beliboy. There's no life, there's no energy. But meridus is the exact opposite. Of a meridus, v'leiv nishbar adirabo. It's exactly the opposite. Harayish chayes beliboy. There's an energy. There's a bitter feeling of a resolve to change, lispoil. It says, givalt, lismarmer. I'm mamish embittered. That I got to get out of this. I can't stay here. I'm going to stay like this.
That's death. I can't stay like this. That's merirus. Merirus is a charge to move forward, to pick yourself up, to change. To say, you know, I can't continue living like this. So rochek me Hashem. I says al richuka me'or pnei Hashem. Really like that? That's going to be my life. Gefarlich, I can't continue like that. That's merirus. That's a good thing. But it seems so similar to atzfus. Questions or comments so far?
You'd say atzfus is like a serious type of depression. You would relate it to a serious type of depression, whereas merirus is like someone who's trying, at least trying to fix themselves.
Let's take clinical depression out of this. That's another parsha. Clinical depression needs someone qualified to treat it. Maybe it needs medication so the person can get their mind back in their own rishus. See, the whole Tanya assumes that your mind is in your rishus. But by some people, it's actually not. But that's called mental illness. That's called a sickness. If your mind is not in your rishus, I don't mean that it's not easy, because for most people, for their minds to be in their control is difficult. That doesn't mean you're mentally unstable. That means you're normal. If it's hard to control your mind, and as the Tanya says, "Hamoyach shalat alalev," that the mind then controls the heart, if it's hard, okay, join the club. But some people are not capable of controlling their mind, because maybe their mind can't settle down for 1 second to think about Tanya or to think about something else. Their mind is all over the place racing. So such a person, you can't even start the Tanya even. They might need medication or some other type of way to settle the mind. Now the mind is settled, at least relatively speaking. Okay, now we can get into the Tanya. So let's take away clinical depression and that kind of thing from here. But everybody experiences depression a little bit from time to time. I think everybody. Again, not clinical depression, but the blues. I'm feeling down. Everybody has that. Some more than others. What it does to a person is it strips them of energy. They're just, why should I get out of bed? Why? Oh, because you'll be happy. Go for a walk. Nah. Just there's no motivation. There's no energy. That's atzfus. I should say that's a result of atzfus. But merirus leads a person, bitterness, leads a person to become determined to lift themselves up and change.
But they're still in bed. They want to change, but they're still in bed.
But real merirus, the person actually gets up.
Okay. They actually change.
They actually change. They feel bitter. They feel that I cannot continue like this. Sometimes it requires a person to hit rock bottom in their life to realize it's time to change. Other times it doesn't necessarily have to hit rock bottom to realize you need to change. But when the person feels I'm far away from Hashem and I'm not okay with that, that could be very good. That could really motivate the person to change. Now, if they don't have a concrete way to channel that, then maybe it's not going to help. So we need concrete ways to challenge our feelings of bitterness. And as the Alter is going to say soon, it's also not for all the time. This is not an all-day-long activity. Let's skip a few lines, actually. See where it says V'hainu b'chol eis sh'roya b'nafshoi. A few lines down. V'hainu b'chol eis sh'roya b'nafshoi sh'tzorech l'kach. You see, you need it. You need an inspiration. You need a bitterness to make you change, to make you want to get up and become a better person. Achshas ha'koy. Sometimes it could happen anytime. Anytime you feel the bitterness for your spiritually lacking life, good. So channel it into something concrete, into some real change. But usually it's not for all the time.
but the, I guess, the proper time, or the kosher time, so to speak, the most fitting time. Shisham yuchedes ur'uyu l'kach l'rei b'nei adam. The best time for most people. He b'shashi otzei v'lav achi m'mel adalma. Is when you're anyway upset about something. In other words, let's not go out of our way to feel sad slash bitter, is what we're really talking about here. I don't need to go out of my way to feel bitter.
But once you're there, you're the tear man.
Once I'm anyway there, mimila da'alma about physical matters, like let's say a person's having financial problems, God forbid, and they think, oh man, how am I going to pay the bills and this and that? And then in pops also thoughts about, oh man, and I'm also having a dominion in a week, whatever it is. Oh, you're anyway upset. Okay, good. Now latch on to it. Yeah, you know what? Tomorrow, I'm going to be in shul on time tomorrow. What's going to be the next day? I don't know, but tomorrow I'm going to do it. Because I can't continue like this. Ayid. I have to be ayid. You know? So that's when, like you said, you take advantage of it. So that's a good time to transform feelings of sadness into bitterness. Skip a couple more lines. This will help a person escape, in a sense, and shake off sadness from material matters, whether it's health or money or whatever it might be. And then come to true simcha. Here, this is these bonus right here. These lines a person can think about, can say over, can read these lines over and over, and get inspired and think about what it means. Da'hainu, shezois yoshev liboy. This is what you should take to heart, lenachama bechiflaim, and it should comfort you and recome doubled comfort. Achar advarim v'haymus ha'ela anal. After all the truth that I've said to you so far about sadness versus depression, lemer leliboy. The person should say to themselves. You don't have to say it to anybody else. I don't know if that's the diuk here, but it's not lemer. It doesn't say to someone else necessarily. Lemer leliboy. Talk to yourself. Emes who came bli sofik. It's taka true. She'ani yochek mi'oid mi'ashem betachlis. I am so incredibly distant from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. U'mashukat z'masua v'chulu. I'm disgusting. My life is repulsive. But, akol zehu ani levadi u'aguf. Im nefesh achiyun neshaboy. But that's just my body. It's my animal soul. It's not really me. That's not how I'm defined. Now we're going to shift. We're going to totally shift perspectives here. I'm not going to define myself by my material life, by my physical life, which might be in the dumps. I'm not going to define myself by that. I'm not going to let that control my perspective. Shift perspective. Even though I have a goof, I have an animal soul, it's true. But nevertheless, yesh bekir b'chelik Hashem mamish. I have a portion of God. Sheyesh na'afil kal shebakalim, which even the lowest of low people has, like we explained in the previous chapter. Shenefesh elokis, godly soul in nitzas elokos mamish, which has a godly spark. I'm a lubash balach yoisa, and that is enclosed in it to enliven me. Rakshiv v'chinus galus, but it's in galus, nevach. It's in galus. My godly soul is in galus. If that's the case, that I am not going to continue to define myself by my animal soul and by my body. I'm going to change my perspective. I'm going to redefine myself as a godly soul. I'm going to look at myself as a spiritual being. Forget the physical. Okay, I have physical, it's true. But I'm not going to define myself that way. So, on the contrary, kol mash ani betachlis harichuk mehashem. The further I am away from Hashem, behatiyu v'shikutz, and the more repulsive and disgusting it is. Harei nefesh elokis should be begolus godlu yoiser. That means that my godly soul is even in a greater golus. V'hau rachmonus alei gedoyle me'oid. And rachmonus. I have to have compassion for myself. Compassion for my own godly soul. U'lezeh osim kol nagamos v'chefzi. And I'm going to now place all my strength and all my focus on this very job, this task, to lift my godly soul out of this galus, and bring it back to its source, bring it back to my father. Bring it back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's my job. That's my task that I'm able to do. How do I do it? Put all my focus to Torah, mitzvahs, tefillah, to cry out to Hashem, to connect to Hashem. Tshuva, ma'asim tovim. That's how I do it. So this is the fundamental perspective shift of chapter 31. So chapter 31 so far is telling me really, solve my problems, so to speak. All I have to do is just begin viewing myself as a spiritual being. Other things will fall into place. And he continues, skip a couple lines. V'zois tiyavidose kol yomav v'simcha rabba. This should be the person's simcha through their entire life. He simchas ha-nefesh v'tzeis ha-me'aguf ha-mesuv is the simcha of the nefesh, not simchas ha-guf, simchas ha-nefesh. When it leaves the guf, v'shovel b'savi kunu rea, b'shas ha-teira v'avoida, that when I learn Torah, when I daven, I am fulfilling what it says, v'shove el beso v'yekun ureah. I'm returning to Hashem, going back to Hashem. See, when my happiness, when my simcha in life is based on my material life, I can't control it. One day I'm rich, the next day I have nothing. The stock market crashes, it's all gone. One day I'm healthy, the next day, God forbid, not healthy. I have no control over my material life. But my spiritual life, v'shava b'savia, to return my neshama to my father, to my father's house, my spiritual life, I have total control over it. All I have to do is daven, learn Torah, give tzedakah, do mitzvahs, ma'asim tovim. That's all I have to do. So while a materially successful life, if we'll call it that, is not necessarily available to me, I cannot necessarily control it, and therefore it will never give me true happiness. A spiritual life is always available to me. A connection to the Eibishter, you need it? Boom, you got it. Anywhere, anytime, any place, doesn't matter what you did yesterday, you can always connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And all it takes is just do a mitzvah, learn Torah, that's it. You can do it automatically, not automatically, but at any point in time. So it's the key to true simcha, because you can actually control it. You can actually do it. Chaim Merazal, Liyos kol yomav b'tshuva. Should do tshuva your entire life. Vein las chasimcha g'doyla, and there's no greater simcha than tshuva. Ketzeis me'agolos v'ashivya, when the person leaves the golos in the captivity, k'moshe ben ha-melech, Shahaya b'shivya, like the son of the king who was in captivity, v'teichem b'beisav asurim, thrown in jail, manuval b'ashpa, cast down in the dumps, v'yotza l'chov shal beis aviv ha-melech, and he goes free back to his king, back to his father the king. There's no greater simcha than that. Now first of all, it says, Liyos kol yomav b'tshuva. How can a person be kol yomav b'tshuva? So we have to say that he's not referring just to the simple tshuva of I did an avera, now I did tshuva on it. But he's referring to tshuva lahashiv, right? Tshuva lashon shuv, to return. So when a person views the tshuva as returning to Hashem, like the Alter Rebbe says a line or so above, kidei lahashiv chelek Hashem, return the Chelek Hashem, that means his Nefesh Elokis, the portion of God within him, to return that to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the tshuva you can be called Yomav. You can do it all your entire life. It's not just for doing Averis. Even if a person is far removed from the Averis. But Leos called Yomav B'tshuva, I can come closer and closer and closer to Hashem, because I'm not infinite, but He is. Then he says, B'simcha Rabba and Simcha Gedoyla. Where is it? Yeah. Simcha Rabba. Then a line or so later, Simcha Gedoyla. Simcha Rabba means quantitatively. Simcha Gedoyla is qualitatively. So the Simcha has to be lots of Simcha, both qualitatively and quantitatively.
What's quality Simcha?
Oh, that's a good question. What does it mean, qualitative Simcha? I'm trying to figure it out. Laughing and smiling is not necessarily qualitative Simcha, although it might be. But let's look at another little diuk over here from a letter of the Rebbe about Shtikl Tanya over here. He says, Liyo is kol yom of b'tshuva. A person should be doing tshuva their whole life. Ve'en lecha simcha gedoy lekatzeis me'agolos. There's no greater simcha than going out of golos, returning to the king. And on the next, then it continues. Right? Ve'yotza lechof shil beis ovi v'melech. Ve'af shil guf oimi v'shekutu v'si'uvoi. Even though the body still is as it was. K'ma shikos b'zoyer d'nikir ha'mashcha d'chavyo. The Zohar says the body is called like a snake skin, a serpent skin. The animal soul still not transformed to good, at least not in a Beinoni. But mikol mokoim tiyaker nafshei be'enov. Your nefesh should be yokar be'enov. Precious. Not the goof. Lismoyach b'simchosa. I should have simcha in which simcha? Simcha sa, meaning the simcha of the nefesh. Yoyser me'agufa nivze. And now, shaloi la'arbev ulavalbel simchas ha'nefesh b'yitzova na'guf. Don't mix them up. There should be no mix in any yitzova na'guf. Because yitzova na'guf of sand of the body, material life, is not shayich when tiyaker nafshe be'enuf. When my neshama is really what matters to me, then it's, if I can really hold by that level, it's not shayach, it's of an aguf. Now, you have mitzvahs, you have Torah, you have tefillah, you have tshuva. Really, every mitzvah is a simcha. Every mitzvah, every tshuva, every ma'asim tovim, everything I do is a simcha, because that is connecting my nefesh to Hashem. That is redirecting my priorities in life. That the priorities of my life are my nefesh. I heard a mashal once. There's a guy, he's a slave, works for the king, and the king tells him, go clean out all the shmutz. Gives him a shovel. The guy goes out and he's shoveling away, shoveling and shoveling out all the schmutz from outside the palace. All of a sudden he realizes, Gewalt. The king wants me to get into the schmutz and shovel it out. Ha, Gewaltig. So what was before just regular shoveling now becomes shoveling with a geschmack. Starts singing an igin. All of a sudden it's levitic. He's singing an igin, shoveling. Someone comes along, what are you doing, Meshuggah? You're singing a niggin, you're shoveling the schmutz, what are you doing? He says, yeah, gewaldig, the melech wants me to deal with the schmutz. So tshuva, in a sense, could be dealing with the schmutz. That could be with simcha also. Everything I do, Torah, tefillah, mitzvahs, gemilas, chasodim, maisim, toivim, tshuva, it's all with simcha. But then he says, "Ve'ein lecha simcha gedoyla katzeis me'agolus v'ashiv." But it's not all the same. Mitzvahs are good with simcha. Torah is good with simcha. Everything is good. But ein lecha simcha gedoyla katzeis me'agolus v'ashiv. But there's no greater simcha than this. This simcha of returning, of tshuva, implying that it's not just that tshuva is on par with everything else. But that really the ikir is tshuva. There's a greater aspect to the simcha of tshuva over every other mitzvah. Dafka dealing with the shmutz. That's the greatest simcha. So, how does a person have qualitative simcha? It might have something to do with this. That if the person can truly reflect in what they're doing, what's actually happening when I learn Torah? What's actually happening when I open the Siddur? What am I doing? Where am I shoveling? What's happening? And to be misboinen in this, ve'ein l'cha simcha gedoyla, you're returning your neshama, bringing your neshama closer to Hashem, to the base of Aviv HaMelech. Wow. The simcha becomes a different simcha when you are aware of what's actually happening. So it might be that that is one way to achieve a higher level, higher qualitative level of simcha, is just to become more aware of what's actually taking place. That requires, obviously, effort. Hisboinenus, to think about that, to reflect on that. The other possibility is that maybe, he doesn't say this here, but that if I have more quantitative simcha, more and more, it will lead also to more qualitative simcha. But you have to test that to see if it actually works. You have to test both of them to see if it works. Certainly it all works. But yeah, I think, and to my understanding, the key to a deeper level of simcha qualitatively is to reflect and understand what's a little bit more what's actually happening. When I do a mitzvah, what's happening? When I learn Torah, what's happening? When I daven, what's happening? And certainly, tshuva, ein lecha simcha gedoyla, what's happening when I'm doing tshuva? And again, tshuva doesn't have to necessarily mean tshuva for averus. You call yom of tshuva, means not necessarily averus. Come closer to Hashem. Questions, comments? Okay, so just to, I guess, wrap up or overview a little bit, chapter 31. We basically started by saying that there's atzfus and there's berirus. Atzfus is off-limits, dirtiest word in the Hasidic lexicon. Berirus, very positive. The difference is that atzfus is, it strips a person of energy, whereas berirus leads a person to resolve to change. Maybe it didn't change yet, but you at least resolve to change. That's berirus, that's bitterness. And it's generally suggested to get into that mode when you're anyway upset, anyway sad for some reason in your life. And then he continued to explain that the real simcha comes from realigning my perspective to think of myself on spiritual terms rather than in physical terms, and to yaker nafshei be'einov, and that my simcha should come from spiritual things. Even if I'm still getting simcha from Gashmi's thicker things, because hey, after all, 2016, most of us are getting simcha from Gashmi's thicker things too. But I should at least know that really I'm a spiritual being. Like he says, really, I'm not my guf, I'm not my nefesh bahamis. What I really am is a godly soul. It's what I really am. Even as in the moment that I'm enjoying this sushi and this and that, at this very moment, that's not really what I am. Really, I'm in the shama. So, We can adjust ourselves in that way. And that will lead me to true simcha, the Alter Rebbe explains. And a simcha of recognizing that at any moment, a connection to the Eibusher is available to me. Torah, tefillah, mitzvahs, tshuva. It's always available to me. So all that's waiting is to take advantage of it. L'chaim. And a Freilich and Shushan.